Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores! He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes! With 1 second remaining.
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of Pick and Pod. I'm Owen Kelty, joined by Kurt Sipple and Angel Ducret. And the NBA season is winding down, only about 8 games remaining. And it's been a long season, and it's been a really good season for some of our teams here, and then a not-so-good season for Kurt's Brooklyn Nets.
Don't look at
over
me.
There.
Don't look at me.
But, you know, me and Angel, we're riding high a little bit going to the playoffs with the Thunder and the Knicks, but before we hop into it all...
You're riding high as a Knicks fan?
Yeah.
But I'm definitely riding high as a Thunder fan.
That's
so.
A different story. You're trying to hold on to a 3 seed right now. All right.
Not trying to hold on. That 3 seed's locked in. But before we get into all of it, how are you guys doing today?
I got a bad stomach ache.
Classic.
I'm not feeling
classic
that great right now. In studio stomach ache. No WFUV bathroom to be had.
Classic.
That is a classic.
Reading some philosophy homework while Owen talks about the Knicks. I mean, vibes can't be.
You're torturing yourself right now.
I know,
oh
you're
man,
the combo.
I'm so like,
Knicks
I'm
talk.
So excited today.
Nets philosophy stomach. I mean
Nets talk in general.
Nets talk is like the best moment that any sports radio show could have.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe if like sure. Chris was here or something. No, but
maybe if you were just, yeah, no, no one ever wants to talk about the Nets because the
just
Nets
stop
aren't
talking,
good.
Bro. Just stop talking.
I just have to, you and Trey
here.
Earlier this week had a legendary back and forth between Nets and Raptors, and I thought it was just the most hilarious.
I forgot
like
that happened.
Like
that
both teams are terrible, and you guys are going back and forth about who's better. You guys had a terrible.
They don't
both
have
had terrible games.
They don't have Drew Timmy.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, but let's push the Nets off. Angel, how you feeling today?
I mean, I feel great, you know. It's a long day, but when I get to talk about the Thunder, I'm happy, you know. 28-1 against the East, so yeah, there's no competition between the Nets and Knicks with us, so you know, I'm not worried right now.
Yeah, the Thunder lead the league right now with 63 wins, but before we hop into them, we're going to talk about a little Knicks talk. Knicks coming off a win on Sunday against the Portland Trail Blazers. Wasn't a great game, but it was an early matinee game. You know, always a couple excuses on a Sunday, but they get the win. Kurt doesn't seem very happy, but you talk about the Knicks are in the 3 seed, 12.5 games back of the Cavs, but they're, let's do quick math here. What's 16 minus 12.5 here? Three and a half?
3.5, yeah.
All right, so the Knicks are 3.5 games ahead of the Pacers with the tiebreaker, so I feel like they are locked into that 3 seed, and now at this point, 8 games remaining. Pacers have a bit of a rough schedule. It's now about keeping that 3 seed and going into the playoffs healthy.
I mean, the Knicks have a rough schedule coming up. What are you talking about?
I mean,
yeah, you guys
they
do.
Have, they have
you
the
still
Cavs,
have the Cavs
Hawks,
and Celtics,
the
right?
The Suns, the Cavs.
All right, the Suns, no Kevin Durant, Hawks, you know, whatever. Celtics in the
no,
season,
that's
whatever.
True. KD
yeah,
is going to miss
just
that.
Saying, like,
but
they're going to still play. Like, it's not like the game is just like,
yeah, but
yeah, take off if it's a certain win.
Either way, regardless if you fall to the 4 or 5 seed, I don't or 4-3 between 3 and 4, I don't think it matters that much.
Yes, it does, bro.
Between who you play, I think I'd
yes,
rather be the 4 seed. I'd rather play
no, but
the Pistons in the first, the Cavs in the second, than the Celtics.
You play the
Bucks.
It's not even
about the first round matchups, though.
I'd rather go Pistons Cavs than Bucks Celtics.
You'd rather get. Like,
no, I won't lie.
The Pistons
I'd
are like
too.
the toughest team in the East.
Okay, but I'd rather play the Cavs than the Celtics.
You guys are like the weakest team in the league, and you're about to go play the Pistons.
Oh God, that's terrible.
I'm not
no,
okay.
It's not.
No, the Pistons.
Weakest?
The Pistons are
terrible.
A tough team. I wouldn't say the Knicks are the weakest though. That's a little stretch.
Sorry, maybe not the weakest, but.
But
man.
At the end of the day,
you think
they're
tough?
Like fifth best Listen, team in the league right now.
It depends on Brunson's health because without Brunson, I won't lie, I would favor the Pistons in that series.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but Brunson's gonna be back, so
you need him back within at least
need,
the last
health
4
is
games
the
of the
issue.
Season.
Health is the biggest.
As yeah, of right sure. now, they have health besides Jalen Brunson, and Brunson's taking his time. Which is getting a little close. He's played 61 games this year. He needs 4 more to qualify for the NBA awards, and there's only 8 games left, so it's going to be questionable whether or not he comes back for those last 4 games to qualify for that award, but also he's been cleared for practice, and it's now all he said it's about feeling comfortable on that foot, but I agree. If Brunson's hurt, they'll most likely be not favored against the Pistons. I still think they will against the Bucks. They beat the brakes off the Bucks without Brunson 2 games ago.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, why wouldn't you want to face
and,
the
and
Bucks
the Bucks
without
are without
Damian
Lillard? Yeah,
because you play the Celtics in the second round.
Well, you're gonna play either
the
Cavs or
Celtics
in the second round.
I'd still rather think I'd play the Cavs in the first round than the Celtics.
I still think this is the crazy.
I mean, I have to agree.
Matchup wise,
I have to agree because at the end of the day, like, you have to see who Cleveland is in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I feel like the Pistons are gonna give you such a.
I don't think they're gonna give as much as a problem as everyone thinks.
But I think they're gonna tie you. I think they're gonna tie you out a lot.
Yeah, I
think
that's.
They still win in five against the Pistons.
I think you still win in five, but it's not gonna be an easy five. Like, it's gonna be a tough five.
I don't think the Bucks would be an easy five though.
Tires you out though.
I think
both teams are going to probably
that's
tire
how
you out.
That's how the first round works, though, anyway.
And
I mean,
think that the Bucks. I think
like that's the playoffs. You're like, oh, you're going to win in five. You're going to be tired.
I don't
like,
think,
I
think
that's
I don't
how
think that's
basketball
true.
Works.
Who the Celtics play in the first round?
First round, it depends from the play-in.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
No, yeah, it does depend on the play-in.
Yeah, but, like, if it would to, like, if personal opinion. So, right now, it would be.
It looks like either Atlanta or Orlando.
Orlando.
I think they're the favor.
So, that's great. So, you would rather tell me you would rather. Play Celtics team, not Celtics, but you get what I mean. Celtics fresh off Orlando is going to be a really tough
some player
matchup.
Is leaving a matchup versus Orlando injured. That team plays the most
same
physical.
With the Pistons.
No, they're not. The way the Magic played, the Magic have ended like multiple seasons
didn't,
so far this
didn't,
year.
Like six guys just get like seven guys just get
the
ejected.
Timberwolves and Pistons.
Yes.
Yeah, the entire basically
seven
the entire
seven
team.
Ejections, five players.
And you know who was in the front four? That was
Isaiah Stewart.
And he's gonna bully the hell out of Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh my God. All right,
okay. I would say okay.
Isaiah Stewart would play versus the Knicks would win every game by 30 against the Pistons.
Didn't the Pistons beat the Knicks?
Regular season doesn't count.
Oh,
here comes the Knicks fans.
No,
that.
I mean,
about that now.
The regular season is the Knicks have playoff risers. I'm not concerned about anyone but the Cavs and the Celtics.
You know who I'm concerned about in the playoffs? I need to see what Mikal Bridges does in the playoffs.
I think
he is going to be your key factor. Doesn't matter
good.
What the matchup is.
Since Jalen Brunson's been out, Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby have stepped up. Over his last 8 games, OG Anunoby is averaging 28 points a game. While playing elite defense. Now, the question is in a Tom Thibodeau offense, can OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, along with Karl Anthony Towns, who's been consistent, all still be good when Jalen Brunson comes out? Because when Jalen Brunson's been out, Tibbs doesn't just rely on it's like Brunson saved me basketball when he's in the game. But now that he's been out, it's like Tibbs has been pushing the ball to Mikal, letting OG run his offense. Are they going to do that once Brunson gets back is the question, I think.
I think that's a huge factor because OG's been playing with this kind of aggression that I don't think I've seen even in the Toronto days. Even
not at all.
Early.
He's a fully different player.
Yeah, it's a fully different player. And even Mikal Bridges he's been a lot more consistent lately without Brunson. So I'll give him that. It really depends on, you know, Brunson is going to need a couple games to kind of get back to himself. And no matter what the stat line looks like, you know, just physically you need Brunson for at least the last 4 to 5 games of the season going to play.
I think last four.
He definitely can't not play it in the regular season and come back in the playoffs and think that things are going to be great, you know? So if I'm Tom Thibodeau, which I would never want to be, I'm playing the same coaching book that you have right now without Brunson. You know, however you have OG and however you have Mikal Bridges right now, you got to continue doing that and let Brunson kind of fall into that scheme. Because Brunson is able to. Kurt, are you okay?
He's gonna take. I mean, Brunson regardless, he's gonna.
Bro, this take is insane.
How is it insane?
Tibbs just does not change the menu. He
okay, but
change the
I mean,
menu.
They did once Brunson's got hurt.
He had to because they were on a deep dive down
but
to
now,
the depth.
But now that he
I
has this,
lost, like,
now
game.
That he has this recipe kind of working. 75. Why not just put Brunson into this scheme instead of change it back? You know what I'm saying?
That's just not going to happen, though. Tibbs doesn't
I understand.
Play that kind of basketball. He's very stagnant in the types of basketball that he likes to play with his stars. We see that with what he likes to do with Brunson.
No, you're right. And
like,
in all honesty.
Said, the King of Knicks fans over here just said, save me basketball is literally what Brunson
that,
plays.
That in the last 5 minutes of the game, the game plan is Jalen Brunson, please save us. But throughout the rest, I mean, we've seen a lot when all four of them are playing. Mikal Bridges will have like big quarters, big halves. Cat will have a big first three quarters. But when it comes down to it in the fourth, it's always been Brunson save me. But now in these, what it's been, you said 7-5, 12 games without him. The end of the game has been spread out between Cat, Mikal, and OG. And I would like to see that in those last, like, four games maybe when Brunson comes back for the rest of the season. It's not just Brunson save me basketball in the clutch, which has worked all year.
I might be pessimistic, but I have not seen Tibbs change his plan when his squad was fully healthy. No matter, not even fully healthy, even when they're kind of injured. I have not seen his plan change last year, this year. The menu has not changed when his squad was fully healthy.
Well, I mean, last year they were not healthy ever.
But you get what I mean. Even when they were rolling down the stretch with taped up limbs.
No, when they the January Knicks was such a different team. That whole season, it was Jalen Brunson was putting the team on his back, and then when OG came, all of a sudden you saw Julius Randle have the best month of the season. OG and Obi, like, there was a lot of guys that it changed once they were fully healthy. I mean, I know you can look at this year, but it's also this has been a fully new team, so they've adjusted throughout the year. There's been highs and lows, but I don't think you can say he's never changed. I mean, maybe at the end of the games, but Mikal Bridges has had – it's also on the players. I think the players need to be more aggressive.
I think Mikal Bridges is finally performing because –
No, but they're way less aggressive when Jalen Brunson plays.
He's getting plays that he's getting plays that are finally drawn up for him. And also, I don't remember the stat, but I saw a stat that OG's and Mikal Bridges' drives are up by like 60% or something
that's
like that.
That's what I'm saying. They're way less aggressive
but that's because they're getting – plays drawn up for them, as well as not giving the ball directly to Brunson right when they get down the floor. I mean, you don't ever see Mikal Bridges dribble the ball down the floor and go, all right, this is going to be a play that I'm going to attack the rim, or I'm going to play a very freestyle basketball.
That's also on him. He's like one of the lowest free throw shooters.
Him.
No, because he's one of the lowest percentage of free throw shooters in the NBA. He has a lot of, like, there's a lot. He shoots a decent amount of shots a game. It's just he's not as aggressive as he can be.
He's not. Before Brunson was out, I think he was averaging one attempt a game.
One free throw. Like, yeah, he was not averaging.
Something low as that.
As low as the NBA.
Like, he raised it up to at least four, but, like, that's the one thing. That's why I like OG's play, because he actually took advantage of Brunson being out and became more aggressive. You see, like, it's not just a stat line, like 28 points per game and all that. The defense, like, he's doing everything that you don't see on a stat line. That's what I like from OG. But then now Bridges... Let's not lie here. Throughout the entire season, there's been a lot of good things. There's been a lot of bad things. There's been a lot of inconsistency with Bridges. So that's why he's the one guy I worry about the most with Brunson coming back, because I think OG is going to keep playing his style of basketball, and even if you don't see it on the stat line, you're going to know he impacted the game in some fashion. But Mikal, you know that he's not impacting games because it, like, you see it physically.
Well,
you
he has
see
empty
it.
Stat lines. That's true, yeah.
Say that?
He has empty stat lines.
Exactly. No, exactly. But now when Brunson comes back, especially when you go into the playoffs, what has been, just go back to the past couple of years, what has been the issue with the Knicks besides injuries? The only guy that shows up is Jalen Brunson.
In the playoffs, it's been him and Josh Hart.
You've never... Okay, I'm not going to say Josh Hart's going to be...
Josh Hart's the GOAT in the playoffs. What do you
mean?
Right,
he'll come off the bench or he'll start, whatever. That's fine. He's going to be a great
Josh
player.
Hart,
no, I'm not going to hate on Josh Hart. He's going to do everything he needs to do in the playoffs. However, you had a couple years where it's always Brunson and Randle, and you never had Randle show up. It was always Brunson having to lead the team. That series against Miami, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, when he almost won himself.
Oh, yeah, he scored. I think he had 18 of their, like, 25
exactly. Like, it was,
or something. He was 18 to 22 at 45 points.
Teams know that Brunson's going to get the ball, and he still finds a way to score.
That's what,
and they can't stop him.
Better defense
but,
comes out because they're just going to, like...
But it hasn't stopped him
but
yet.
It hasn't stopped him, but they're going to keep on doing that, Kurt. However, now that you have a team with Bridges...
Celtics?
Yeah.
They didn't play him in the playoffs. I said it hasn't stopped him yet.
Are we talking about the playoffs?
Well, we're talking about... Miami, Cavs, they haven't stopped.
Every single series, he's been the only person that's showed up, and no one's been able to stop
him.
He's five straight games of 40 points.
He's
and
basically
they know
averaging,
it's just him.
Yeah.
No one stopped him yet. So I don't know what your point is. Who stopped him?
But now you have a team with Bridges, Towns, and OG. You have three options that should be able to kind of win you a game. And if Towns, he hasn't shown up in the playoffs that much. He doesn't have a track record in the past, a good one at least. OG and Bridges are the ones that if you can at least get one of them to show up, then I don't have any problem with the Knicks making it to the second round, maybe even pushing past a Celtic or a Cavs team. But you need consistency from all your players. You can't just always rely on Brunson. So it's going to be on Tom Thibodeau to realize that They're going to double. They're going to trap Brunson. They're going to do whatever they can, especially with him coming back to injury. They know he's not 100%. So they need to find a way to keep Bridges and OG going and see if that's the recipe for success.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting how they bring back Brunson towards the end of the season. If they want to, I don't know how important to him that making the all NBA is over his potential playoff health. I mean, 8 games, needs to play 4 of them for the awards.
You're
going
to expect him to play like 40 plus minutes in the playoffs. So, you know, like, that's why you need
every
him in the regular season.
Every single minute that he's available, he's going
I mean,
to
exactly. Every team does that though. Once the playoffs hit, every starter plays
you're right.
almost the whole
Every starter plays practically like 40 minutes in
if
the
you
playoffs.
Want, if
you're
the
not
most
wrong.
Successful teams in the playoffs, the last year in the finals, Luka was playing over 45 minutes a game, every game. Same with the Celtics were running.
No, yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Tibbs just wants the playoff rotation the entire season.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Just how that functions.
That just happens to be
that's
the
just
issue.
That's just how that works, and you can only
but
look,
it's been,
almost
since,
barely beat the
but listen,
Trailblazers.
If Brunson goes from 0 to 40, you're going to – he's going to get injured in the playoffs if he goes from 0 to 40.
Yeah, he's
going
to need some games to work up there as the season ends. But I think – going into the playoffs, regardless Bucks or Pistons, I'm not concerned about either of them regardless. I think the Bucks is an easier matchup, but in the second round, the Cavs is an easier matchup than
just
the Celtics.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
If the Knicks lose in the first round, Tom Thibodeau's fired, and they make another splash move.
I think even if you guys make it to the second round and lose to the Cavs or Celtics, you still have to fire him. The Knicks are not winning with Tom Thibodeau.
You think he's just getting fired this year? Like, that's common consent.
He
you
should
think
he's be fired.
I don't think he'll be fired, but I think that there's
he should
a,
be fired.
No, should yes. be fired. I think that there's a chance that at the end of the year, if they're out in the second round again, he's moved up into a front office role similar to Brad Stevens, and they bring in a new head coach. The relationship that they have, they are not firing Tom Thibodeau.
You have to. I'm sorry, you're not winning with him.
He's not
just
win
signed
with
an extension. I think he'd be good in the front office, sort of front office.
You haven't
role.
Even told, like, even earlier in the year during pick and pod, you haven't even, like, you told us, like, he's not even a top five coach in the league.
Somebody,
so, like, who?
Somebody
who
said that he was a top five. I'm trying
that
to
was George Fuvatakis. I was not.
No, I thought that was Briley, actually. It was one of them two, actually. Yeah, it was.
Someone
one
said
of
it. I did not agree with it.
I'm saying Owen doesn't agree with it. So why wouldn't you want to fire him to try to get a better head coach?
But, like, what head, like, if you look, the Knicks have made their the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. And they hadn't made the playoffs like 20 years before that. Like,
yeah,
Tom Thibodeau's changed his organization.
Want playoff success is the issue.
But what coach out there has proven playoff success that you would get?
There might not be many options right now.
I have to think about
like the best coach on the market is now Taylor Jenkins, who also doesn't have postseason success.
I actually like Jenkins a lot.
But he isn't. He's the same issue as Thibodeau. He's never gotten past the second round.
But he is. I feel like he's a little bit of a more. One, I
it's
think
not,
he can coach in the playoffs a little better than Tibbs has been doing.
I don't know. Tibbs has the worst teams.
You
than
can
those Grizzlies
you
teams.
Can find playoff success based off the style that you run as a coach. You know, like yes, Tom Thibodeau has given the
and that's my
Knicks
point that he doesn't
good.
Change the menu.
I know. I'm agreeing here. I'm agreeing with you, Kurt. Like Tom Thibodeau has given the Knicks success past how many? I don't know how many seasons he's been head coach, but
2019.
Since 2019?
2020?
So what?
2020?
2020. Yeah. So they've made the playoffs since 2020, or was there 1 year they didn't make it?
They missed the second. So they made it in 2020. Then they signed Kemba and Evan. And then
that's
they stunk.
Right.
They were terrible that year.
So they've made it 4 out of 5 years, the playoffs.
I think it's 3 out of 4.
Okay, 3 out of 4. Even so, they've made the playoffs more than they have in the past 10 to 15 years prior to Tim. The thing is, in the regular season, the Knicks have been able to build a good team, no matter who the coach is, to be honest. So now when it gets to the playoffs, and you realize that Tom Thibodeau, his style of play is not going to match the other good teams in the league. Now, do you see the success that Cavs have now, the Celtics have, OKC in the West, even the Lakers now? Like, there's
all
a
great,
reason.
All pretty good. Actually, I won't call the Lakers head coach.
Yeah, hold on. Calm
a
down
that
one. But
every other team you named
have a
good
head
coach.
And they have a good style of basketball. Like, Tom Thibodeau is not – exactly. Tom Thibodeau does not have that kind of attitude when it comes to his style. His style – he's supposed – first of all, he's supposed to be this defensive headed coach, and you guys are, like, in the bottom
bad.
Of the league of defense.
Since
so,
Mitchell Robinson's been back, they're in the top of the
– you're in 13th.
Since Mitchell
okay,
Robinson's
so you're mid.
Back.
You're mid.
I wrote an article about it just yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that also is going to happen when you have Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time.
Granted, okay, but you have Bridges,
you
OG.
You have to change your style. Like, you're not gonna,
doesn't do
but they're
that.
Also one of the best offensive teams in the league.
Yes, you are,
again,
and you
how
should
many times
be.
Do I have to tell you the same story?
Defense
the best
wins championships.
The best offense in the league. The Brooklyn Nets did not win. It didn't happen. They had the number one offense in the league.
The most selfish superstars ever.
Congratulations. The Celtics, doesn't matter.
Listen, the Celtics won last year because they were both the best offense and best defense in the league.
The Celtics are going to win it again this year. So it's like,
well, no, they're not because we will stop them.
All right. All right. Let's move on from Knicks talk to the bottom of the barrel of the NBA. We'll talk some Brooklyn Nets. They've won two in a row, which I know Kurt has some takes on this, but they top four worst teams in the league have equal odds for the first overall pick. We probably have the best American-born star prospect coming out since LeBron James. And Kurt,
I wouldn't even say that yet because, to be honest, it might be him staying in Duke.
He's not. There's no chance he stays at Duke.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Being the first overall pick. All that money.
He will still be the first overall pick next year.
Yeah, but all losing out on that all that money in the NBA, I don't think anyone.
Look at his NIL deal. I think he's one year closer
to the $100 million extension that you get in the NBA. Cooper Flagg is going to go to the NBA draft, especially because Duke's probably going to win the national championship this year. No point in staying. But Kurt over here with the Brooklyn Nets is rooting for wins with 8 games left. It is not possible for the Brooklyn Nets to make the play-in. So Kurt is rooting to go to no man's land.
I just enjoy winning. I just enjoy watching my team win.
But think about all the wins that Cooper Flagg would bring your team.
I don't know if that's true. How many times do
I
have to say
this? The prospect of Cooper Flagg on your team is better than the prospect of being
the prospect of having
11th pick.
The prospect of all having.
What do these wins do for you?
What does makes me happy as a fan to watch Drew Timmy perform.
Gives him joy.
It does, actually. You ever
it drives say, me. It's the
it could drive you insane.
The Giants.
It could drive you insane. I don't care. I don't like to see my teams lose. I've told you this a million times.
The winning doesn't
do
anything.
I don't care if it doesn't do anything. It doesn't show anything. It doesn't show anywhere on the season. I watched Keon Johnson throw down a reverse slam over Anthony Davis yesterday, and I was very happy to see it.
But wouldn't you? You could be watching Cooper Flagg drop 30-point triple doubles for the next 12
years. How do I know
years?
That's gonna happen?
Okay, but you don't. Okay,
he's the
you don't know that's
American
gonna happen
born
with any prospect
since LeBron James. You know he's gonna be
capital
good.
P
people,
in prospect.
Listen, people were saying
what
that about
you
other
guys
people.
Have? What's your future? You have no future.
You have to listen. I would take the gamble if you are a team that can get Cooper Flagg. Look at all the other prospects that
I
no
understand.
One knew about.
And do you
who
see
knew
the
about
lineups?
Donovan Mitchell? Who knew about Steph Curry? Who knew about,
what,
you know?
Do you see the lineups we're throwing out right now?
Yeah, you guys, it's a G League team.
I apologize, but it's the Nets' fault for getting wins. When you're throwing out Drew Timmy, Keon Johnson, Daron Sharp, Reese Beekman.
But you're happy they're winning.
And Nick Claxton.
Who?
But what do you want me to do about it?
Be upset about
them
losing.
I will never
no,
do this
you
about
the
my
Giants
favorite
beat
team.
The Colts. I was,
I will never be upset about my favorite team losing, and that's what makes you a bad fan.
No.
I am more of a fan of sports than you are.
No. That is a terrible take.
Listen,
when you lose
him
out
like,
on a future, like, it's not like last year's draft where it's like, all right, Zach Richesher versus Donovan Clingan. This
Alex
year
Starr.
It's Cooper Flagg. He's been the top touted
you can
prospect
make it sound
for
like,
years.
You could make it his name sound as sexy as you
LeBron
want.
LeBron James.
It doesn't make
LeBron
a difference
James.
To me.
What if that win last night cost you LeBron James? Like
how
2004.
Do I know? It's not LeBron James. But, actually,
in
right, fact,
and you
in
know,
fact,
in 2004, the Nets would have lost a game, and he would have been like, "Man, it's LeBron James. We don't know if he's going to be good."
We don't. We didn't. Actually, LeBron, you did.
Yeah. Okay.
LeBron, calm down there, Kurt.
LeBron, you did.
But, like, that's my point, is that they're prospects. You're going to keep telling me this, and I understand, but I will never root for my team to lose, as well as you cannot throw out a worse lineup than they're already throwing out.
But, Kurt, can I ask you a question?
That I apologize. You can't.
Let me ask you a question.
I agree, but I wouldn't be happy about them.
If you fall out the top 10 or you fall
that's
out.
That's not going to happen.
You never know what the
lottery. You never know.
Let's just say you fall out the top 5 then. I'll make it more realistic. And you're not going to get a nice, sexy prospect, possibly. Like, then what's the direction
start
you go
trading.
As a Net fan?
Start trading. You have a lot of picks. You have a lot of picks.
You have a lot of picks. You have a lot of young players. Like, don't you want to get one of these top prospects and kind of join in your young talent
you can,
and
but
see
also
what's happening?
You have a lot of free agents this year that you can also potentially
okay, but
look
who
at.
Wants to go to Brooklyn? No, I'm sorry.
No, actually, a lot of stars want to go to Brooklyn. That's always what happens. That's why Giannis is one of his top destinations is Brooklyn, because they want to be here. That's a reason why Kyrie Irving wanted to sign in Brooklyn. He didn't want to sign over the bridge at the Knicks because it's a dysfunctional organization no one wants to be at.
They wanted to sign in Brooklyn because there's like a lack of media attention,
but it's also still a big market. They didn't want to sign with the Knicks. They didn't want to sign with the Knicks. Get it through the thick skull.
I know they didn't want to be a Knick, but they wanted to be a Nets because it's easy being a Net.
They didn't want to be there. It's not easy. There's a lot of pressure to win. I don't care what
they
you tell me. You're not even a
fan.
That's not true at all.
Where is the pressure to win in Brooklyn? Where does it come from? The 5 media members? The 8 fans that show up to games consistently? Like, there's the Katie and Kyrie were terrible.
And
one of the most disappointing trios and disappointing eras of basketball, and no one cares.
But you're not watching.
Because now I'm not watching Brooklyn Nets basketball. Because
you're not watching. You're not paying attention.
Because they
stink. If you pay attention, you know what you're talking about. You don't.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down on Monday night and watch Drew Timmy play basketball.
You should, because it's actually pretty entertaining to watch Drew Timmy play basketball.
For Cooper Flagg. Yeah, I want to hear you. We need him and Chris Carino on the mic together to argue about the future of the Brooklyn Nets. Because
I don't want
to
be the next host of that.
I'm never going to root for my favorite team to lose.
Opposite
I don't care.
Beliefs.
But I'll never root for my favorite team to lose.
Okay, granted,
even if it
I
means
get that.
Root to watch more losing in the future.
I don't know if that's what that means. The future's not mine to hold.
Okay.
I don't own the franchise.
I'm not know that not getting Cooper. If you don't have Cooper Flagg next year.
But I don't know what the plans are in the offseason.
You know that the idea of Cooper Flagg is going to lead to more wins in the future. Regardless of how much of a bust he is, he's going to lead to more wins than you guys winning with Drew Timmy yesterday.
That's not even like a response. Like,
yes, it is, because you
okay.
know that that you'll win more. So you're rooting for one win today
but
that puts you from the 14th seed to the 14th seed.
Owen, how many times do I have to tell you? Still rooting for wins because I enjoy watching basketball. I enjoy watching my favorite team win. And guess what? If they get Cooper Flagg and he turns out to be a bust, what am I going to do? Because you're going to be sitting on this mic and being like, you drafted him with the number one
pick
and he was a bust.
If Cooper Flagg turns out to be a bust, then every single person ever would be wrong. And no one would clown the Nets for that.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm just saying, rooting for your favorite team to lose
funny.
Is just in... Just in general, something
makes you
I can't
a good
do.
Fan.
Okay, you don't have to root for them to lose, but like
fan,
deep down
in
inside of you,
you
kind of wish.
I know deep
you
down,
kind of like hope that like
they kind of lost.
I have a lot.
Night.
I have a lot of hope for the future, and I can see what's going on.
But
I mean, the
imagine
again,
Cooper
Flagg
and Giannis.
Listen to his point. Like, even if the Nets keep on losing, they're not gonna make it to the 14th or 15th.
I watched
the
40
seed, honestly.
Blowout
right,
the
bottom four of the same odds.
They're not. Oh, it's so true.
It is.
Bomb four is the same.
Yeah.
So you don't even need to be the worst team. You just need to be one of the
you
worst
guys are
four.
You guys are 1.5 up on the Sixers. Oh, no. Who's the bottom in the West?
Bottom of the West? There's one team, I think, that's worse than the team.
The Jazz. That's it. Yeah.
Jazz, yeah.
Oh,
16.
No. Wait.
How
many wins does the Nets have?
The Nets have won a couple in a row. So
Nets
let's move them
two.
Out.
Oh, no. There's more. Hold on. It's because
the
Nets
the
have
Pelicans,
25
the Jazz,
and 51.
Yeah.
Pelicans, Jazz, Wizards, Hornets. And Sixers are ahead of them.
Yeah.
If they'd lost those two games, they would have been behind the Sixers. And the Sixers are now going full tank because
they're the
sixth
worst.
The
yeah.
Thunder own
really
their pick unless it's top six.
Who?
The Thunder own the Sixers' pick
oh,
unless
yeah,
it's top six. So the Sixers are tanking hard these last
the
couple
Nets
games.
Have,
I'm,
the
begging.
Have the
I'm begging for that seventh pick. I'm
the
not going to lie.
The Nets have the Timberwolves, the Raptors, the Pelicans, the Hawks, Timberwolves again, and the Knicks.
What do you
so
get the Raptors?
I'm looking at their schedule. Sunday.
He's oh, schedule. I thought you meant the... Oh, okay.
So, the Nets are probably going to lose to the Raptors, the Timberwolves. They lost by 50 to the Raptors the last time they played them. That's an
which
embellishment.
Crazy. I'm going to hear Trey about
so
that
I
soon.
I don't doubt that they'll lose to the Raptors again. The Pelicans is probably going to be a competitive game.
Atlanta has to win.
The Knicks...
Minnesota
are,
has...
The Knicks are going to try to win.
Yeah.
Last game of the season.
Knicks basketball.
Yeah, especially if you're gonna have Brunson there.
If they're
playing,
he'll probably
he
play
needs
like 25 minutes. But
even so, like,
I don't think anyone else. If they're locked into the 3 seed with one game to go, I don't think anyone besides.
Well, whatever.
Brunson.
And then
okay,
you have the, and you have the Timberwolves for their second to last game. So how many wins is that?
I see at least 2 wins in
maybe
the next.
Maybe two.
Yeah, at least.
Maybe two.
Because New Orleans, I can see, and then. Honestly, Toronto. You can beat Toronto. Because
Toronto might start
even
throwing
though Toronto
some weird lineups out there. Honest.
But again, the Nets are throwing...
If it's not Toronto,
the
then
Nets
it's probably
throwing,
the Knicks. I'm sorry.
The Nets are throwing as weird of lineups as you can get out there. I apologize.
No, you're not wrong.
If they keep trying... But it's not their fault that the players are getting paid to play basketball. It's not their fault they're trying to win the game because that's not what they do. That's what they do. They get paid to play the game.
They get paid the same.
The Nets lineup right now is one of those where you look back.
With the dudes in the Nets lineup, none of them have a big payday.
Could you look at the Nets lineup and tell me who you know? Just not including like guys like D'Angelo Russell and Nick Claxton.
Last night?
Yeah.
I got you right now.
D'Lo, Okay. Keon Johnson.
You only know Keon Johnson from this year.
Keon Johnson.
I know Williams. Wasn't he a Grizzly?
Tyrese Martin. No idea who that is.
Yes.
Exactly.
Nick Claxton. Okay. Jalen Wilson. I do know who that is from last year's Nets team.
I just know Jude Timmy's from Gonzaga.
Tariq Whitehead, also from last year's team, and Trenton Wofford, also from last year's team.
Tariq Whitehead was. Who doesn't know Killian Hayes?
No, he was in the G League last season.
He was a he was from Duke.
Yes, he was in the G League.
Was he?
He was in the G League last season.
He got drafted this year. No. Well, no, the Nets didn't have a pick this year. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
My brain just
I know more Nets ball.
My brain just completely
Tariq Whitehead
where Tariq Whitehead was from.
I think
this might be the highlight of the podcast.
Tariq Whitehead and Jalen Wilson were both in the G League.
Jalen Wilson, I know.
Was at the end of last season. And they
I forgot about Tariq Whitehead.
I know Nets ball. Pat me in. Cam Johnson.
That might be the title of the episode. Owen knows Nets ball.
Keep it in, ladies and gentlemen.
Tap in.
But it doesn't matter. I'm never going to root for my favorite team to lose. I apologize.
I get it.
I can't.
I get it.
That's just not what kind of fan I was growing up as. I've been a Mets fan my whole life. You've ever seen how it looks
Giants
when we
fan.
Try
when
to
we,
lose
when,
it.
When the Yankees sucked in 23, I wasn't going to root for us to lose. You feel me? So like,
you ever
well,
seen when the
different.
Mets,
baseball's different. You
ever seen when the Mets tried to lose? When they tried to lose all those years in a row and they kept getting bad prospects.
That baseball's so different, though, than basketball. Because basketball, the prospects are so much. Like, baseball, you draft a guy. It's like, oh, I'll see you in 10 years when you make it to the MLB.
No, that is a valid point.
In basketball and most time in football, you're drafting a guy for immediate impact.
Yeah.
Just saying. It's going to be what it's going to be. I can't control the team. I am not the head coach. I'm not the GM. Who already said in the beginning of the year that we're not trying to win. Sean Marks said that. So I don't know what else you're trying to. I don't know what else you want me to do.
Fire everyone that wins. Trade them all.
Just get everyone away.
Listen,
trade
I don't
them all
know.
At the end of the
forfeit.
Season
forfeit
them
the games like the Mavericks.
Yeah. Just
I don't know
the
if
game.
It was
start
1-on-1
people.
Or a podcast. I remember a couple weeks ago saying, wow, the Nets might make the play-in. And look at us now.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm done. Pod over.
Let's move on from Nets because they're just dysfunctional franchise. But
as the Knicks fan.
We're – all right, yeah. All right, one of the best teams in the league. But let's
fun,
move on to the rest.
Franchise.
Let's move on to the actual
the
best team in the league, guys.
The other parts of the NBA. Before we hop into Thunder, I want to talk about the Thunder and Cavs eventually. But looking at the playoff picture right now.
Let's do it.
What are the most exciting matchups looking at in the first round for you guys? I know with the play-in, it gets a little funky with who will be where, but assuming they stay the 7-8, stay 7-8, and no one moves up in the play-in, what are the best matchups, first-round matchups that you think are most exciting to you guys?
I got you right now. Honestly, all of them are going to come from the West. As a Thunder fan, I'm scared of the Clippers a little bit.
I'd be scared.
Clippers
any of the high seeds in the West, I'm scared of those.
I'm scared of the Clippers 1-8. I think Nuggets Warriors is going to be a really good series. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a really good series. And I think the upset that we will get in the first round would be the 2-7. I can't see the
T-Wolves. I think the
T-Wolves
definitely beat the Rockets.
But the Rockets
are
low key.
They're very young.
They're young and fun. They're very low key. Like, they can make some noise. But I think the Timberwolves should still get that one.
Shout out Brian today, who came over to my job, and he told me, WFUV's very own, and he told me, he was like, hey, like, you know the Rockets are the number 2 seed. And I was like, bro, what? My brain was like, I'm not paying attention to basketball anymore because the baseball is on at the moment.
Yeah, because your basketball team stinks. All right.
All right, buddy. I'm still watching the games. I watched them all last night. Okay. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, the Rockets number 2 is insane.
The fact that they're also 14.5 back of the Thunder is also insane.
Well,
that's
the
2 seed.
The Thunder are on a 10-game win streak.
Yeah.
They're about their 15th 10-game win
streak. We're not
going to
win 70 games, but we'll be right there.
Celtics are on a 9-game win streak, too.
And the Cavs have won a lot in a row. I know the West has a lot of enticing matchups. I think Pacers Pistons is going to be a really interesting first round matchup. Pistons, no one on their roster except for Malik Beasley has playoff experience about. Pacers made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They've really struggled this year. Tyrese hasn't been Tyrese. I think that would be a Pistons upset.
Cade Cunningham is going to come to play. I don't think anyone's going to stop
Isaiah Stewart,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
They've had a lot of back and forth this year. I think the Pacers and Pistons that's a mouse at the Palace.
That's the
throwback, but they've gone back and forth this year. I think that'll be a really scrappy matchup. I think the Pacers run last year was a little bit similar to that 2021 Hawks run where it was like, got a little lucky there with like injuries. And I mean, the Hawks got lucky with Ben Simmons forgetting how to play basketball. The Pacers beat two injured teams to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'd like to see how they perform this year. I think Pacers-Pistons is going to be a really exciting one. Yeah. And I think Celtics-Hawks in the East could – the Hawks have had the Celtics number recently. I mean, they're not going to beat them, but I think they can take one or two games, see Trae Young back in the playoffs.
I like the Hawks because, yeah, Trae Young in the playoffs, you know he's going to be a bucket, assist maker, of course, but
they're
Dyson Daniels.
Kind of a weird squad.
I think
his defense is going
to – that could be a really exciting series.
He might lock up Jalen Brown that series.
Jalen Brown, too, has been bad this year, and he had some – in the past, some sketchy playoff performances. Last year, he was very good.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Those new sneakers, he's not – those Superman sneakers that he got on, like they look like supervillains on his feet. He'll be all right.
Are you guys – I want to look at Lakers-Grizzlies. Is there any concern that the Lakers lose that one?
No, because
I don't
think
the Grizzlies don't have a coach.
I think without the coaching, it's weird now. Yeah,
I've seen a lot about the coaching might have been, but like solely for Ja Morant.
Because
a lot of those guys
I've
were like, "Why
reports.
Would we ever fire our coach?" A lot of the players, and then it's like Ja Morant said nothing, and a lot of the offense has not been running through your superstar. I mean, Ja has been very. I don't know if his exact numbers this
Jenkins,
year, but pretty underrated.
Jenkins has been babysitting Ja the last, how long has it been? 3 years, ever since he wanted to go out with he got suspended a few times. Like, it's not his fault what has been going on, and all he's been trying to do is appease Ja Morant, and now Ja Morant has completely burned him.
I mean, Ja Morant's averaging 22-4-7 this year. I think you expect more.
You do
him.
Expect more from that man.
In general.
That's your number one guy in Memphis. Yeah, you expect more.
So I think the Lakers do win that one, but that would be an interesting matchup. That's also a rematch of what was that 2 years ago?
It was a couple years ago.
Dylan Brooks matchup. So I think it would be, the West will be a lot closer, but the East has some fun ones.
Every matchup in the West I'm looking at right now is
because anyone could beat anyone in the West, but the East it's like all right,
the Cavs are gonna win.
The Magic aren't gonna win a series. Bucks, no Dame, probably aren't beating the Knicks.
I think it's only the 4 or 5, like you said. Like,
and
I think it's
the
only
Pacers,
the Pacers-Pistons that could be upset. But even so, like, I'm looking at the second round possibilities right now. And, you know, we can get to Thunder later because I'm already scared looking at the second round. But Cavs, possible Cavs versus Pistons, I would not be a fan of that if I was a Cavs fan.
Yeah, I mean, a young, hungry Pistons team versus a Cavs team that's young but also hasn't performed in the playoffs.
Don't be surprised if the ECF is Pistons-Celtics.
Ooh.
Don't be surprised.
Could happen.
I mean, we're not big Cavs. I mean, Curtis is Cavs respecters over here. I don't know how much I trust their 16-15.
I think it's very similar to how I think about the Thunder.
I think sometimes, like, they both have too much depth. I trust the Thunder more to be able to cut their rotation down, because I think their rotational players are better. But, like, the Thunder have 10, 11 guys that they can play on every night.
Yeah.
Same with the Cavs. But I think if the Thunder have to cut it down to an 8-man rotation, those 8 guys I trust a lot more than if the Cavs have to cut their down to an 8-man rotation, than their 8 guys. I mean, especially with how Darius Garland's performed in the playoffs. Like, if the Cavs, both teams rely heavily on death, but you can't have that in the playoffs.
I wasn't even going to say Garland was going to be the X factor for the Cavs. I think DeAndre Hunter, because that was a low-key pick. Yeah, that was a low-key pick of the Cavs at trade deadline that I loved the most. And if he pops out in the playoffs, then yeah, forget what I even said. Cavs will make it to the ECF, no problem.
I still think they will.
I think it depends on the other guys. Evan Mobley and I think Hunter are the two X factors. Garland, if he can, you know,
they also didn't have like Jared Allen last year too. They were injured.
They were injured, but it was also the same time that players like Evan Mobley, he spawned into, you know, greatness this
season. He finally took
so it's like exactly
they're
going to
be good, and I think that their success will carry over. I think it's the coaching of Kenny Atkinson. I can keep telling you guys
yes.
this a million times.
100%.
Until we see it in the playoffs, you're not going to believe me, but that's just what's going to happen.
I also still think, always looking at, I think Garland and Mitchell will get taken like on defense in the playoffs. I think that, especially when we look at a shorter rotation, like they're going to be playing a lot more minutes, and they're both bad defenders, both small guards. That was always a concern of the Knicks era. Did get Donovan Mitchell, him and Brunson together. Even the idea of playing Brunson and Quickley together the last couple of years is two small guards defensively doesn't usually work in the playoffs. We've seen that's why the Cavs have struggled in the past, and the Celtics have had so much success. It's a wing league.
Yeah,
even if the Mavericks were even, look at Luka, was a big guard. That's why they had so much success. But that's what set the Thunder up for, I mean, to really win a championship this year. They have, their starting lineup's five good defenders with a couple great ones. I don't know, you used to put Shea in as a great defender.
I'll put him as
two free throws for Shea.
Pretty. Yeah, I mean, tip off free throws for Shea. The whistle changes in the playoffs.
Y'all can hate about all the fouls and all that. I'm saying
the TV and look who's at the free throw line.
Oh, it's the bottom of the first.
We wasn't
Shea shooting free throws.
We wasn't
Judge's batting.
We wasn't saying this when Harden was MVP. Okay, we wasn't saying this back then.
No.
I don't want to hear it. We were not going all depth about this until Shea.
The Thunder playing?
Oh,
Shea's at the free throw line.
Shea's at the free throw line. I don't think he'll win MVP, but I think coming, I mean, in the.
It hurts that he won't win
in
MVP.
In the playoffs, the whistle changes. Like, he's not going to be able to get to the line as much. I think that might affect his game.
But listen, at the same time, like, even without the free throws, the stats support it. Like, he still leads the league in scoring.
Do you not remember when the league started not, like, swallowing their whistles?
That was, like, end of last year, and they're like, nope.
And then, like, Harden could just not function. During that time, like,
okay,
they kept trying to draw fouls and nothing was going through.
But Shea Gilgeous still leads the league in points without fouls. He has other opportunities. He knows he's a midi god. I'm sorry.
He's a great player.
He's a great guy.
I'm just like great. Look at the playoffs. I mean, we'll see how he did. How was he last playoff? I don't know his exact stats.
He was all right. I mean, he wasn't the same as the regular season. But as long as
it also just depends on health for you guys too. I mean,
they have so much depth though.
Year.
I mean, if they could lose someone, it's like.
Well, no.
You need center health.
We definitely can't.
I mean, centers. You need Chet
and
Ihart to be healthy.
Chet is healthy. Hartenstein healthy. If those two stay healthy, we're good. Jalen Williams off the bench. We're good. I think we're good right now.
Isaiah Joe is literally Steph Curry.
He was a bucket last night. He was a bucket.
That man.
Him, Aaron Wiggins, buckets. I love them. Those two guys. Caruso is going to play a big factor in the playoffs with his defense.
Y'all will be fine.
That's probably your eight man right there. Right?
Listen, I'm not going to lie, because you have right now Clippers first round and possibly the Lakers second round. Like, that's two LA teams right there. Like,
Kawhi and Harden.
That's kind of crazy.
Kawhi and Harden are turning back the clock.
Just to
right
make
now.
It to WCF. That's kind of crazy.
Say,
okay.
Don't judge Kawhi until it's over, and Kawhi is back.
Yeah,
Kawhi and Harden and Norman Powell. I'm not.
Norman Powell is fueled by Paul George hate, and now that Paul George is not making the playoffs, Norman Powell is just so angry. And he's gonna average 40.
I've always loved Kawhi, and there's reasons why you love Kawhi.
Yeah, this is always. You can't hate that man.
And with the wall, free throws for Shea might not be too easy.
Two free throws.
With the wall up there. I mean, a lot of guys, I don't remember
Shea's not
who
gonna
the
need
quote
that,
was.
Guys.
Maybe I'm getting sent held right now. But I'm pretty sure some player did complain about the wall.
I think Kevin Durant complained about the wall.
Was that getting sent held?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Was it real?
No, I think I know what you're talking about because I saw that. I saw that they said that it was unfair that there was that the fans were allowed to stay that there were
that
fans
the angle
like that.
It is.
Yeah.
The wall's like
because
it's very,
very
deep,
steep
and
it's
like throws
steep.
Off your depth perception. Yeah. But I wonder how that works. It's supposed to work with free throws. How does that not change with your regular shooting?
I don't think you're not paying attention to the because when you're shooting a free throw, you're more like the standing at the line and like you're kind
of
aiming at the basket if you get what I mean. When you're shooting a shot, you're not really aiming at the basket.
You're not even thinking about all everything outside of it too. Like
yeah,
just in the moment shooting.
You're so locked into just like I guarantee like those guys, it's like the tunnel vision is literally just
you're locked in on the court.
Exactly.
But on the free throw line, when everyone is not moving and it's just you and the ball, that's when you start thinking about it. So.
And you hear that, like, if you see it, could not imagine. But, like,
for sure.
When you see Mr. Whammy also.
Mr. Whammy. Imagine Mr. Whammy on the wall. That would be unstoppable. But
that would.
Really exciting playoffs to look forward to. 8 games remaining. Award season's coming up. Questionable who's going to be available for all NBA because Brunson's out. Kevin Durant is out. So a lot of guys coming near that 65-game point. But that is going to do it for us for this week's episode of Pick and Pod. It was a fun one. Knicks talk, Nets talk, all NBA talk. But that's going to do it for us. For Angel Decret, Kurt Sipple, I've been Owen Kelty. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.